Genesis 1. We started last week in verse 1. We looked at God as creator and how he hasn't stopped creating, how he creates life. And in the Psalms it says, refaces the earth with new life from generation to generation. We know that he creates us in Christ and we are a new creation. Saturday for the soccer outreach, we looked at a little piece of verses 2 and 3 and 4. And tonight we're going to get through verse 25. Quick introduction. Genesis is a book of beginnings. That's what Genesis means. And beginnings are important. It's important to establish a beginning. And God thinks so. So he gives us some beginnings in Scripture. Quick outline of the book of Genesis. And I read in one of the commentaries, you can outline it with 8 words. Creation, fall, flood, nations, speaking of the beginning of nations, and then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And that's what we find in the book of Genesis. Genesis is a familiar book. How many of you here would say that you would consider yourself very familiar with Genesis? We read Genesis a lot because it's at the beginning. And oftentimes we start the Bible and we don't finish, but we always read the first part. Very familiar. You know what? I think that just as we approach Genesis, it being familiar, we can think of a few warnings. When something's familiar, sometimes we have the tendency to get bored with it. Sometimes we have a tendency to gloss over it, kind of read it quickly. We could have a tendency to have kind of a non-expectant attitude toward it. I've read this before. I'm not going to get anything out of it this time, different or new. Sometimes when something is familiar, our pride can hold us back from hearing from God. But there are benefits to going over a portion of Scripture that's familiar to us. One of which is, it can be a reminder. The Bible talks about how we're to be reminded of the things we've learned. So as we go over a passage that's familiar, it can remind us of the things that the Lord used to minister to us when we read it back then. So it can be a refresher and a reminder, and that's a good thing. Also, we can dig deeper. The first time you read a passage, you only can get so much. You only have the capacity to receive so much the first time you read it. And then the second time, you can only get so much more. So as we approach a very familiar portion of Scripture, we can dig deeper because we've already are familiar with it. That's the benefit. We have greater potential than when we've read it the first time of recognizing different things that we didn't recognize before. New things. Something new. So let's try to keep that attitude as we go over familiar Scripture. Let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We look to you, and we do ask that you give us the right heart as we approach you, as we open your word, and we read. Give us faith. Give us hope. Give us an attitude that expects to hear from you. We love you, and we believe you have something for us in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read verses 1 through 25, if you'd follow along with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And creation brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind. And every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then look at the last verse, verse 31. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning or the sixth day. The account of creation. The creation hymn. Here we have a familiar portion of Scripture. I'd like to, first of all, look at the beginning, verse 2, and kind of recap what we talked about at the outreach Saturday very quickly. It says in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We looked at the three things there. That how the earth in the beginning had three problems. It was without form. It lacked order and structure and form. It was void. It was empty. And it was had darkness was on the face of the deep. It was dark. It lacked light and illumination. And we see as God continues the 6 days of creation, he fixes those three things. He says, let there be light, and there was light. And there was an answer for darkness. There was illumination. We see that he separated all the waters, brought them into one place. He created dry land. He created the sun, the moon, and star. Everything was put in its place, and there was order, and there was form. Then we see that he created the plants and the animals and the water, the birds in the sky, the beasts on the earth. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the face of the earth, fixing the problem of the empty void. And God effectively taking care of and addressing those three problems. And Saturday, we talked about how if we address the Bible by faith and believe it as it's supposed to be read, we read a passage like this and we think, does this mean that God can bring light where there's darkness, and order and form where it's lacked, where there's chaos and where things are scattered, and bring fulfillment where there's emptiness, he can fix the problem? Yes, that's what this means, and that's what the Bible teaches. When there's darkness in our lives, when we can't see, God is the one that can bring light. When we feel like everything's scattered in a mess and we don't know what goes where in life, it doesn't seem to fit, God is the one that can put everything in place. And when we feel empty, like we don't know what we need or want, God is the one who fulfills us. And Scripture's consistent. The Bible says he's the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He brings a new illumination. The Bible says that he is the bread of life. He offers living water, and the thing that makes us feel empty, he is the one that fulfills that. That fulfills the hunger of our soul. And the Bible teaches that he's meant to be our God, and we're meant to be connected to God, and that's what's out of order in our lives. And when that is aligned, he can begin to have all the pieces fit, and everything can begin to make sense. So we looked at that Saturday, looking at how God can do these things even on our lives, as he did in the beginning. Tonight, however, one more quick little point I noticed. It said, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I like that. We see this earth that was lifeless, lightless, and empty. This chaotic blob, and yet God's Spirit was hovering over its face very close. You know, where there's areas that are a mess, that lack, God is very close to those areas when he plans to provide, bring light where there's darkness, bring form where there's disorder, and bring substance where there's a void. The Spirit of God is hovering very close. Sometimes when we don't feel it, God's Spirit is very close to us, hovering right beyond the surface. But that was Saturday. Tonight, we're going to look at something different. We're going to look at God's methods of creation. And for the sake of application, we could say we're going to look at God's methods of accomplishing. This is the account of creation, and God felt it necessary to record for us certain details of how God created everything, his method in doing it, how God accomplishes. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Four things I see from here that are God's methods in creation or accomplishment. And the first we find in verse 3. Then God said, verse 6, then God said, verse 9, then God said, verse 11, 14, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, and 29, then God said. What is God's method of accomplishing or creating? He speaks. He uses his word, the spoken word. How did he create? He wanted to tell us and show us and record for us that he used his spoken word to accomplish and create in the beginning. And he's very clear to reiterate that time and time again. He said, let there be light. He uses his spoken word. We notice that his spoken word is very effective. As we go through this chapter, we see, and it was so, and it was so, and it was so. God's spoken word is very, very effective. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. When God speaks, we can take him at his word. His word will accomplish, Isaiah 55:11. It will accomplish that which it's brought out to do. It will not return void. We can count on God's word. His spoken word is powerful. And that's how he accomplishes things. And he's very effective at it, using the spoken word. As we go through these things, as we recognize God's method of creation and accomplishment, we're going to try to apply it to ourselves, personalize it, bring it into the present. What does that mean to us? So God used the spoken word to create some 6,000 years ago, maybe. What does that mean to me today? Well, God still uses his word to accomplish today. That's how he does things. That's one of his methods. And his word is still effective. Everything he says still can be trusted and still comes to pass. Personalize it. God is speaking. Did you know that? He's speaking today. And he has a spoken word for you. And that word is what is the source and method of his accomplishment in your life. What is God saying to me? God is still speaking. Well, we learn that in Scripture we see the Word, the spoken Word, as God speaks audibly. We see the Bible talk about Jesus being the living Word, the Word became flesh, the Logos. How Jesus is the living Word of God. And God used the living Word, the Word in person form, to accomplish much. And that applies to us. And then here we have the written Word of God. And God uses this Word, as well as the spoken Word and the living Word, to accomplish things in our lives. To accomplish today, as He created then. Spoken Word, written Word, living Word. God is still very effective when He speaks. So what does that mean? We should pay close attention and listen to what He says. As Samuel was instructed, speak for your servant listens, your servant hears. We should be attentive to what God has to say. And when God speaks, when we hear the Word of God, when the Lord speaks to us through His written Word, through the person of Jesus, and He speaks with a still small voice in our heart, well, we need to value that. We need to believe that that is the source that He's going to use to accomplish in our lives. That means something. We need to listen. We need to value. We need to believe. God's method of speaking. And God said. I see another method here. As we continue, look at verse 4. And God saw the light. Verse 9. Then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land... That wasn't the right reference. Verse 10. The end of verse 10, it says, and God saw that it was good. Verse 12. At the end of verse 12, and God saw that it was good. Verse 18. The end of verse 18, and God saw that it was good. And so on, verse 21, 25, and finally the last verse in verse 31. Then God saw everything that He made, and indeed, it was very good. So, another thing we see here as we go through the chapter, God's method, is that of watching. God said, He speaks, and God saw. He searches, He watches. Now, what does that tell us? I see, I think, first of all, that shows His interest and concern. See, He wasn't a God who said, you know, let there be light, okay. Create the animals, okay. He just kind of like had, He just did it and just went on, as, you know, many people today, you know, do their job or whatever. He was interested. You know, how is that going to work? He saw it. He watched it. He looked at it. And that speaks of His concern and His interest. I think it also speaks of His method is intimate. It speaks of intimacy. I looked at the Strong's definition of this word, saw. And it's a very deep word. It has a lot of meaning in it. It's very vague. It can refer to a lot. These are just some of the things that word saw refers to. It means that He approves, beholds, considers, discerns, enjoys, to have experience with, to gaze upon, to take heed, to meet, to be near, to provide, to regard, to respect, to stare, to think, to view. You see how involved God is? His method is very, very intimate. As He looks and He wants to be a part of it. He doesn't want to back off after He speaks. He wants to be right there every step of the way, and He wants to see each detail developed as He wants to be a part of the process. His method is that of interest and concern. His method is that of intimacy. Notice specifically how it says He saw that it was good. It repeats that phrase over and over again. God is especially watching His good plan unfold. As He watches in His method of what He creates or accomplishes, He's specifically paying attention to that which is going to come together for the good. He's looking at how His plan of salvation is going to transform people's lives. He's looking at the good plan culminating. You know, the Bible says that his, we know that his, God says in Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts to bring you a future and a hope, good thoughts, good plans. Well, he wants to view and experience those good plans come to be. He's especially interested in watching his good plans unfold. That's what he's looking for. He's not like, well, this is an experience. Hey, he's going to mess up again. Look at this idiot. No, he's especially paying attention to what is good. He creates something. Now, that's good. I want to look at that. I want to watch that. That's good. And he looks at what he accomplishes in that manner. So again, as we go through this, how can we personalize it for us in the present? What does that mean to us today? Well, it means that God is watching us. He's concerned and interested with us in our lives. And he watches and he desires to be intimately involved and connected. And he's looking for specifically his good plan to come to fruition in our lives, to be accomplished. He's just watching. He's on the edge of his seat and he knows his plan. He knows how it all can work together for good. And that's what he's connected with. Personalizing it for us. So we realize he's watching. We let him be involved. We open ourselves up to him. We accept. We recognize. Going on, the third method I see here, and that is, we looked at God said, God saw, and now God separates. God separated. Now the word we find here is divided. Look at verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament. Verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. Verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So here God reiterates and points out as his account of creation in the beginning, his method of creating and accomplishing, and that is that of separating and dividing. This goes over here, this goes over there. Separation, dividing. And we see this examples of this throughout Scripture, not just in creation, as God called Abraham out and how he sets us apart. He's one who separates. That's a part of his method. That's how he does things. In fact, I'd like to look, if you can turn if you'd like, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I thought this is a good example of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So God's method of separating, dividing. So what does that mean to us today? How can we personalize that in our present day? Well, we know that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And that as he accomplishes and deals in our lives, he has a desire to separate us from the world. He's using the method of division. And he wants to separate us from that which is sinful, that which is evil, that which is of the world and not of the Father. His methods, he said, he saw, he separated. And finally, we see that he specified. The word used here in Genesis is called, that of defining and labeling or identifying. Look at verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Look at verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Look at verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together the waters, and he called, and the gathering together of waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And verse 19. So the evening and morning were the fourth day. That's not the reference. Okay, verse 20. And God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above and across the face of the firmament. That's not one either. But there probably is more. I just wrote down the wrong references. But that he called, he specified and identified specific things. That is day. That is light. That is night. That is darkness. That is dry land. That is seas, water. And his method here, as he records and reiterates for us, is that, his method of creation accomplishment, is that of specifying, defining, calling, identifying. And again, I was thinking about examples of this throughout Scripture, and there's way too many to mention. But just in the next few chapters, we see that when Adam and Eve sinned and ate the fruit, God identified things for them. You are now cursed. The ground is now cursed. Trying to bring definition to this whole thing. When God created the heavens and the Garden of Eden and he brought Adam into it, he said, you see that tree over there? That's a good tree. You see that tree over there? Bad tree. God specifies for us. It's a part of how he works. For Cain, when he came to Cain, just in the next few chapters, he said, where's your brother? And then he said to Cain, you know, and Cain was all upset because the Lord did not accept his offering. He said, understand, if you do well, you will be accepted. Defining the matter for him. You know what your problem is, Cain? Let me put a label on it. Let me explain it to you. It's not your brother. It's that you're, it's you. It's how you're doing it. So God is in the business. His method is that of specifying, making things clear, bringing labels and definition and identification for us. Another way to think about this is would be from our perspective, from his perspective, he specifies. From our perspective, we learn. We grow in knowledge and understanding. Oh, so that's faith. That's what faith is. And that's doubt. Now I understand. That over there, that's the flesh. When I do that, that's according to my flesh. That's living according to my flesh. And that over there is what you want me to live like. And that's living a life according to the Spirit. As God seeks to specify things for us, bring definition and words and understanding and knowledge to life. What is love? Oh, you can spend your whole life identifying that. God's desire for us to grow in knowledge and understanding, for him to help specify things for us in life. And again, personalizing that for our present. What is it what in our life lacks definition? See, that's how God works in our lives. He speaks, he uses his word to accomplish. He sees, he's intimately involved in there every step of the way, looking for his plan to come to fruition. He separates as he desires to call us out of the world. And then he teaches as he specifies for us. No, 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 you got it wrong. You're mad, but you don't understand what's really going on. This is truth. This is the sin. No, you don't. No, no, no. The sin doesn't come from outside. It comes from your heart. He specifies and he teaches. He brings definition for us. That's what he desires to do. That's how he works. His methods of accomplishment in creation. So, as we go back to the beginning, we see God create the heavens and the earth, and we look at it with fresh eyes, and we look to God expectantly to create something new in our lives. We look at it with faith, knowing that he's still at work. He's still making things. And he wants to do big things in our day and our life. And we can see here a little bit of how he works. And we can seek to align ourselves with that. Adjust ourselves in such a way as to be affected by his methods. Tuning in to his word. Listening. Valuing. Believing. As he watches us, we recognize his involvement. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. To God's watching me. God sees. Make that as a fact. Make that as a daily thing to remind yourself of. And then seek to reach out and watch back. And as he desires that intimate connection, allow it. Connect. Invite him to look at you and watch you and see you. As he desires to separate, don't fight it. No, but I really want the world. If you lose your life, you'll find it. Okay, God, this is the way it's going to work. This is the way you work. I'm on board. Separate me. Set me apart. Call me out. Make me holy. Sanctify me. That's the way it's going to be. I want it to happen in my life. And finally, as he specifies, oh Lord, teach me. Let me not lack a teachable spirit to accept your definition of things, even if they're different than what I thought was true. See, we all need to learn more specification in life. And God has more things to show us. No, no, you're wrong. This is what it is. This is the issue. This is truth. Oh, may we, as we see the methods of his creation or accomplishment, may we be affected, and may he accomplish in our lives today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We know that it has the power to change our lives, for it is truth. We believe it. We accept it as truth. And we cry out to the living God, whom the Bible speaks of, the living word. And Lord, we ask that you would accomplish in our lives today, that you would move, that you would affect us. We pray for the spoken word. We pray that we would, as you say in your word, my sheep know my voice and follow me. Oh Lord, teach us to discern your voice, to hear, to follow. Oh Lord, we thank you that you are good. We rejoice in you. We praise you. We believe. We trust you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.